That would be silly. It's already blessed. But God, right now in Jesus' name, I ask that you would open up each understanding. I ask that you would bless the heart that the word is fixing to go into. God, I call that heart good ground right now in Jesus' name. Lord, right now I take a hold of every hindrance that could try to come up in this service. And I just speak a calm right over this congregation right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for being the best father. God, there's nobody else like you. And God, you've been so good to us. God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. I've learned that you can hang off of and believe every single thing that the Word of God says, even the things in the Old Testament that doesn't make a lot of sense to you. Amen? I know, I've been there. I have thought that sometimes that reading the Bible, some parts of it was boring. I feel you. I get that. Ask God to bless your understanding and to bless your perception, because I guarantee you none of it's boring. It's life. Now, Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab. Now, Ahab was a wicked king. He was wicked. Elijah was a prophet. And I'm going to tell you, in your walk, I don't care if you're a prophet, a Walmart checker, somebody that works at the DMV, a nail tech, I don't care what you are. There's going to be times where you're going to deal with wicked people, okay? And so we can't act like things like this are not in the Bible, because there is nothing new under the sun, and every single thing and every problem that you face and every question that you don't know the answer to, I can 100% give you a guarantee that it's in His Word. You may have to look, you may have to search it out, but every problem that life has, it's right here in His Word, and it tells you what to do. And here's Elijah, and he's speaking with Ahab, the wicked king, and he says, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives." How many of you believe that God Himself, He is living? We don't serve a dead God. God is living, and it says that here's Elijah, and he's saying, he's speaking to Ahab, and he says, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives." See, in your walk of faith, in your salvation, it is important that you understand that you are serving the living God. Not a living God, he's the only one. Amen? He's it. That's why we can call Him Jehovah Jireh, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is living. You don't serve a dead God that can't relate to you. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at right now as you sit in these seats. He knows when you walk out the door, the next thing that's going to try to hurt you, the next thing that's going to be a success for you. He knows everything. How is that? Because He is living. He is the living God. He is sovereign. "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve. You're always serving someone or something. Every day that you live. Unfortunately, a lot of people serve their self, and that is their problem. Make that choice to serve God, to live for Him. That's easy on your good days, when you don't feel good, when you've heard the worst news, when everything has fallen apart, when nothing looks good. On those days, is He still your God? Do you still serve Him? Do you still love Him? See, if every time something comes up in your life and you're saying, "Well, I don't even know if there is a God." Now, let me just give a little disclaimer for those of you that's never heard my preaching. I am not a politically correct pastor. I never will be. I never have been. And I'm embracing that season. I'm probably going to offend you in some type of way if you're an easily offended person, because the Word of God itself, it is offensive, because it will tell you when you're wrong. It will tell you when you're sinning. It will tell you when you need to change. It will tell you when you ain't acting right. So if every time when something happens in your life and you're saying, well, I don't even know if there is a God. Well, why would God let that happen? Sweetheart, you probably are not saved. Praise God. I like the amens. I didn't get very many on that one, but you know what? Good thing I ain't living off of those. I said, if every time something bad happens to you, you're questioning who God is, there's a high probability you ain't saved. Because let me tell you something. On your worst day, when you've heard the worst thing, God is still God. He's still exactly who he says he is. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And it says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. So here's the little prophet, Elijah, and he's telling the wicked King Ahab, look here, buddy. I serve the living God, and it is not going to rain. It's not even going to do, except for when I say it is. Here's a person that knew who he was, and he knew the authority that he had, and he knew that at his word, that was the only time it was going to rain. And when God saved you, when God delivered you, when he brought you out of whatever he had to bring you out of, he also gave you power and authority. He told you, you have dominion. Yet I don't see a lot of believers dwelling in their dominion. I see a lot of people accepting some things that God will never accept. You know, God has never changed his mind about what he said in his word. He's never changed his mind. He will never change his mind. It doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what Facebook says. It doesn't matter what this one or that one says. God will never change his mind. That's why it is so important that you get into his word and you know what his word tells you that you can do and that you can't do. Because if the believer gets off and keeps on doing the things that they shouldn't do, guess what? There you have the foothold for Satan to come right in. You either are a believer and you're serving God, or you're backsliding, or you ain't saved. And you have to figure out which one you are. How many of you love Romas and Ozark? Oh my gosh. I know, I'm like a squirrel. I'll be preaching and I'll switch to Romas. Like a squirrel. My dad said something so funny the other day. We went out to eat at Romas. And he sits down. And he clapped his hands together, and I thought, I have gotten all of my weirdness from him, every ounce of it. And he goes, he's licking his lips. He goes, Kelly. I said, yeah, Dad. And he goes, it is open season for the backslider. And I thought, man, you are awesome. You're like almost 75 years old, and you're still just ready to go out and get them. Ready to love them, ready to minister to them. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is your life. This is your life. You've got one of them. You've got one of them. Don't take it for granted. Don't sit on your rear end and feel sorry for yourself about things that's happened. Let me tell you something. You don't have time for that. take God at His word, believe everything that He says, know that He's going to perfect everything concerning you, know that you're the apple of His eye, He's not letting you go. Here is Elijah, and he tells him, it's not raining until I say. Go with me to Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. God backed him up. God backed him up. If you're in the will of God, God will back up your actions. He'll back up what you say. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. There are signs that follow the believer. There's evidence that you are saved. There's evidence because, see, the Word of God, Jeff, promises that there's certain things that are going to follow you if you're a believer. That's how you know if someone is a believer or not, because there's little things following them. How many of you have got kids or a little dog or a little cat? Okay, you're going to really relate to me here in a second. You know you can't go to the bathroom. You ain't never alone. My kids have finally gotten out of that stage, and I got Sammy, my little sweet baby dog that I love so much, and he'll sit outside of the bathroom, and he will stuff his nose, Brother Larry, under the crack of the door and cry till he gets to come in. There are signs that follow the believer. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. In my name, they will drive out demons. I encourage you to practice on yourself. How can you possibly lay hands on somebody and drive out a demon if you've got 10 of them inside of you? Sometimes when I'm really in a mood, I have to get in the car and I have to just be by myself, and I have to tell me and all my personalities and the 10 demons that's tried to attach themselves to me, we're not doing this today. No, we're not going to act that way. I don't care, Kelly, what they did to you. We are going to let it go. You know, sometimes you need to talk to yourself about what you're going to do, because everything inside of you isn't wanting to do the right thing. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Now, can I explain something to you? Please, for the absolute love of God, just because the Bible says that you will do this, that doesn't mean go out and pick up the first snake that you come in contact with, okay? Somebody asked me one time, Pastor Kelly, I'm going to go to a revival. We're going to cast out all the demons. I said, good, good. Sounds like a good revival. And they're bringing snakes. And I said, I'm not going to that, okay? No, we're not doing that. But it says that, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. There's power inside of the believer. It is important that you know who you are and know what you are and know what you have. First of all, you're a child of God. You're extremely powerful. You have the power. You literally have the power in your speech to either heal people and help them or kill them just by what you say. That's why it's important to not say, oh, This cold is just killing me. Stop saying dumb stuff like that. Speak life. Speak life. When you come into contact with someone and they say, you know, I feel like I'm never going to be the same. You, at that moment, you have an opportunity to help change their mind. How can you do that? Well, you've probably felt that same way yourself. Because at the end of the day, it does not matter how you feel. It matters what God says about you. Go back with me to 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 2. And we're back to Elijah. And it says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The word of the Lord. It is very important that you allow the word of the Lord to come to you. God will tell you what to do. He will show you where to go. He will explain to you in detail with instruction how you're supposed to do it. Don't worry if you're qualified or not. You're probably not. But he will do the qualifying. Okay? And thank God he doesn't tell us everything in life that we're ever going to do or that he's going to do with us, because we'd really get scared. Because at first we'd start disqualifying ourselves right off the bat. Oh, I can't do that. No. No, you can. You can do what God called you to do. You can do what he puts you on this earth to do. Amen. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Wait for God to explain to you what your next move is. Amen. Wait till he gives you some instruction. Wait till he tells you what you're supposed to do about that situation. Wait. Wait. I'm going to explain something to you. It's not funny. It's not coincidental. It's not whatever. From day one of pastoring, one of the things that was always on my heart, and see, we ain't quite there, but we are very, very close to it, and I feel that. One of the things that's going to come out of this church, I know it, because God told it to me almost 7 years ago. Kelly, you're going to have a grief ministry. You're going to have something. It's going to flow out of this church. It's going to saturate the town. You know how many times I've asked God, when are we ready? And he say, not yet. I believe that God's got to give you the right people in your life to do things. This sweet little couple over here, they came all the way from California. I don't have their whole story. But what do y'all do? What do you hold? What do you have? A grief ministry that was already, you already work in it. God will give you what you need. You know how many people I could just stick in there and try to make that work? Gosh, I have done that kind of thing. It doesn't go good. Last week, God was speaking to me about the children in Logan County. And I tell you, God loves Logan County. He does. In 2019, in January, I asked God, Lord, I am not going to make no New Year's resolutions because I never stick to those, and I'm not losing 20 pounds. In fact, I'm probably going to gain 20. So what do you, God, tell me, what do you want me to pray for? In 2019, he said, Kelly, pray for Logan County. Ask me to give it to you. A lot of pastors think, well, or people would say, well, that's an arrogant thing to say. Well, Oh, well. When you're a pastor and you're a smart one, you know people's going to talk about you no matter what. And if you're a woman pastor, baby, you better really put your big girl pants on because they're going to really talk about you. And if you're cute and you're a real good one, they're really going to talk about you. So I just prayed. I said, God, you told me to ask you for Logan County. God, I ask you for Logan County, and I don't even know in full what that actually means. But God, I ask that you give it to me. Amen. Loving the people of Logan County has changed my life. I've served the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the uglier. And in the middle of that, what I have gained is a heart that knows that God loves Logan County. Amen. And he loves our kids. And I was talking to him the other day, and I said, God, are we going to do a kids grocery giveaway in summer? Are we going to do that this year? What are we going to do? Yes, we are. I said, well, then I need to start buying things for that to get that squared away so it's not a huge expense all in one setting. I picked up my phone because I like to plan things. You know what? Planning isn't bad. God loves when we plan. We got to be intact with, he probably has something way better planned. So I pull up the Sam's Club thing. I'm scrolling through that app, and popcorn came to my mind, Jill. I wanted to give every little kid a thing. They can just throw it in the microwave, pop that popcorn. I've got it all in the cart. I'm feeling real established. I'm about to hit that purchase button, and God says, nope. Don't buy that. Okay. Well, then what are we doing? Do you want me to shop on Amazon? I mean, I like that a lot better. Wednesday rolls around. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Wednesday rolls around. Right off the truck, like the first pallet. Popcorn. Not the off-brand popcorn, Mayor. The good stuff with the extra, extra butter. Now, if you're silly enough to think that I'm bragging about me, you are dead wrong, because let me say, I am not that bright. But I will get up and brag about God every single Sunday and every time I get a chance to, because God is still God and he knows exactly what he's doing. If you'll have the guts to stick up for him behind closed doors, he'll honor you in front of everybody. Amen. God loves you. God will provide for you. God is sending things your way that you don't even know that you need, but you need them. You may not need them right this moment, but he's already had to put some things in play so you have them at the very right moment. There's already things in your life that he's ordered. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And you have no clue that you even need them. So what am I trying to get you to do? I'm trying to get you to step up to a next level where you trust him with the things that you're dealing with right now. Amen. Because God knows where you're at. He loves you. He hasn't forgotten anything. He's going to provide for you. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and here is the instruction. Child of God, wait for the instruction. Wait for it, because it'll come. What was the instruction for me? Don't buy the popcorn. God has had to really dumb some things down for me. Just, Kelly, don't buy it. I want to give it to you. I'll take God's popcorn any day. Isn't it fun to be his kid? Do you ever sit and think about how fun it is to be God's kid? I'm not telling you you're not going to have heartache and trouble. Yes, you are. But what I am telling you is, man, God won't let that stay. He won't let it stay. Leave here. Turn eastward and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. And then he gives some very basic instruction. Very basic. You will drink from the brook. And I have ordered the ravens to feed you. The problem with some of our mentality is that we think, well, God, I just want you to supply me everything that I need. God's already going to do that. And if you begin to doubt that, he'll just say, hey, go here, hide in this place. Here's the brook. You're going to drink from it. And I've ordered the ravens to feed you. I've ordered them to feed you. What did he have to do, Mindy, to get that done? God himself communicated to the ravens, okay, to feed him. If God has to do some supernatural things to take care of you, that's exactly what he'll do. So stop looking to the left and looking to the right, wanting it to all make sense, because it's probably not going to. Because God never operates in a natural way. He's always operating supernaturally. His way. And his way is so much higher than what we could think. His thoughts towards us. You know, Steve, we could think all day long if somebody said, Steve, what are the top three things that you want God to do for you? You'd say your three, and they would probably be the top three that you think that you needed. And God could be up there, and he's saying, I was already giving that to Steve, but here's what else I'm going to do. Yep. Amen. I've ordered the ravens to feed you. So verse 6, it says, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. The ravens brought him that. That's how much that he cared for him. Now, Daddy, I didn't tell you about this, but grab your microphone. Come on down. You are the next contestant. Now, if you're thinking you can't laugh and have fun in church, you up in the wrong church, okay? Because you can get your point across and still realize that we're all people here and we're all folks. Now, Dad, I'm just going to ask you some questions. Now, I've got several parts of my message that I still need to hit. We just read where Elijah was fed by the ravens in the morning and in the evening. It took guts to look at Ahab and say, it's not raining till I say so. I serve the living God. It's not raining till I say. Here's things about Brother Angelo that we're going to work on this year, because behind a very tough exterior is a person with an enormous heart and an absolute sold-out devotion to the living God. Amen. You probably won't find a person that we actually know that has as much grit as he does. But there was a time in the ministry, and ministry is very difficult, but there was a time where it was very difficult. And I grew up hearing certain stories. I want you to tell them, the Reader's Digest version, but explain to them, you were looking out the window one day. You know what story?
Yes. Many years ago when we first started Paris Christian Center, our original house was 980 square feet. It was a house in 10 acres. It was lovely. We still live there, and we've added on twice. But one of the things I was concerned about, of course, is the finances, because a little bit earlier than that, in the spring of, right before we started Paris Christian Center, I was at a fast in Dardanelle, and there the Lord told me, he said, son, I want you to give your union card. I want you to turn it in. He said, and I said, well, God, I don't think I can do that.
Because you were a plumber, right?
And I was a member of Local 29 Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, and I said, oh, God, I'm here fasting, but I'm not going to do that. He said, Angelo, I need for you to turn in that union card. I said, God, just let me keep it. And he said, son, why do you want to keep that union card? I said, in case this don't work out. I meant it. I had kids. I had, you know. He said, Angelo, that's not the kind of faith I'm looking for. Now, I need you to turn in your union card. And I called Jay Terwilliger, my business agent, and I said, man, I'm cashing it in. I'm turning it in. And I'm not going to be back in there anymore. And we go back just a little bit further. In June of 1986, we bought a place that we live in now. And in the month before we started Paris Christian Center, in April of 1987, we paid it off. And so we started debt-free. And I'm telling you, when you start something for nothing, from nothing, you better make sure you were told to do that. You better know how to do it. And you better not have a whole lot of debt. And so I did that. And house was paid for. And, you know, Kelly, I had some trouble with some people that I really thought were with me. And they really weren't. And they wanted to use my anointing. They wanted to use me. They wanted to do some things that I did not think I wasn't going to do them. They just weren't of the Lord. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, no, we're not going to do that. And they left me. They left the ministry. And they had a little bit of money and a little bit. And I went through some agony and stuff. And there may be somebody here today. You may be going through something. And you might be saying to yourself, I didn't think I'd ever have to go through this. And you're sitting in here today. And there might be things that you're going through that you never thought you'd have to go through. Well, I just went on and the Lord said, Angelo, I want you to begin to command the angels. I want you to begin to tell them. And Kelly tells it a little different from me. I happen to think I'm right. I said, I just command the angels from the north and the south and the east and the west to bring finances for this work. Our pastor in Modesto, California prophesied over us we were going to come here and do a work for the Lord. And I began to do that, and it helped, you know. It just helped just to know, you know, the worst thing that you can do is not know who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. See, you got to know what you're supposed to be doing. You can only do that if you seek God. You can only do it and have success if you're in the Word and you seek God. Well, that's what we did. Kelly was just a little bit. In 1987, Kelly was 2 years old. And then there was Casey and Lily and me. And one day, this is the part she's... Please forgive me if I get emotional. I always get emotional about God. Well, one day, Kelly was at the babysitter. Casey was school, I believe, at that time. Would be the kid. And I was in the kitchen. Millie was at work. And I was in the kitchen, and there's a window that faces to the north right there. It's not a window anymore. There's a wall there where we built there and then further out. And I was just contemplating these things and was just wondering some things. And you know what I thought? Maybe I really didn't hear from God. Because you know what? If God tells you to do something easy, that's not God. God's going to tell you to do something that's beyond you. And I had deep struggles. The folks that we started with, I thought they were with me. I was brokenhearted that we weren't in the ministry together anymore. And I looked out the window. I was washing some dishes, and I looked out the window. And there is a crow. And I was looking at my pond. It was out there. And there was a crow had one of my had one of my catfish. Now, I don't know how that happened. Catfish was flopping around out there. And the Lord said, Angelo, I want you to go and get that fish. And I went and shooed that crow off, got that fish, said, bring it into the house and dress it and eat it. Dressed it, prepared it. Listen, don't be upset because what God is asking you to do seems a little bit hard because he's there. He's there. Just make sure. Just make sure. And as I begin to eat that fish, the Lord said to me, son, I called you from California to come here and do this work, birth this work. And he said, I chose you because you know me. Many, many other things before I got saved. I was a drug addict, demon possessed, suicidal. And the Lord said, son, what do you think about this fish? What do you think about that? I said, well, Lord, I was wondering, did that crow get in there and get that fish out of the water? What happened there? He said, Angelo, that's not the point. He said, here's the point. I've called you. The river valley belongs to you. And if I have to get a crow to bring you something to eat, I didn't know that my daughter was going to ask me to do this, but I'm beyond that part where I think I'm going to break down and cry. But there are many, many things. He said, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. And he said, son, I'll be with you. And so many other things happened. So many things. We could go on and about everything we've done. This little girl right here, and that other little girl right there, and that sweet lady right there, they was right with me. I remember telling your mom When we first started Paris Christian Center, just a little bit earlier than I said, Mom, I said, I believe God has told me to take our bank account and use it for the startup, for some of the equipment, for speakers, and just equipment that we needed. We were renting this building down here south of town. It used to be John and Bequita Goodson had a fish place there. We rented that building at first. And I remember my wife said something to me. Now, I think it's real important. If you're going to marry somebody, for those of you that are in between marriages right now, that hadn't been married yet now, I had God wake me up three nights in a row right after I was saved. I was 22 years old. He said, I want you to marry that girl next door. And I did what he said. So we went on. And where was I? Which part?
Marry the right person.
Marry the right person. It's always good. Look here. Well, what if I didn't? Well, what if I just told you God loves you anyway? And that God, you know, but you could, you know, if you make it, if you not only just get married, but you know, anything that you're about to do right now, if you make the right decision, making the right decision, choosing the right situation, and everybody in this room that's chose God, you're already a winner. If you stay close to them, I've seen people in here. There's Sherry right there. I've just seen her just grasp onto God. I was there when she's, and just others in here. And me and Brother Larry, we go way back. This building was New Life Fellowship. And, but anyhow, all of a sudden, I met key people, and finances began to come in, and I can't even really explain how that happened. All we didn't have any the three guys that had the most money. They left because I wouldn't do it. What I did was I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. But I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give this to you. The Lord told me to give it to you. So I gave them the church, and it wasn't long they gave it back. I said, you know, I said, that's wrong. I said, we just signed a lease over here on the square. I don't have a job, and you're leaving. That's what you're telling me. And that's what they said. And you know what? I think this is the first time I've ever told anybody that. I just kept that to myself because I just believed, you know, if you've got saved, and you'll never forget that time you got saved. If you got saved like that, you've already got what you need. God's going to be with you. And 1988 rolled around. I met Emmett Spencer. Tremendous evangelist. We had meeting after meeting. We had Benny Hinn's brother here in this building. That was before we put this room here in. All around in here, all around the whole building. There was just, you just had to, and I remember Sam Hinn was going to close them. He said, well, do you think I'm doing any good? I said, yeah. He said, well, I've been thinking about leaving. I said, no, you can't do that. And I began to read his mail and tell him some things about him and about what he was supposed to be doing because he was in between on some things. And he stayed. It was a tremendous meeting. I've never seen it. We had some of the wine-ins here. We've had Charles Capps right in this building right here. Many people. Because God won't tell you to do something without him deciding and knowing that he's going to back you up with everything that you need.
Amen.
And that's what happened. And, yeah.
Well, Daddy, I got to finish this message.
Really?
I do.
Need any help?
Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Y'all got some extra stories in there. There's a lot of history in your church. And the gist of that history has a common thread. And that thread is hold on to God. He's holding on to you. He'll make a way. If every single person that you loved in your life, if they all walked away from you and you still held on to God and he's got you, you got no problem. He's got you from the beginning to the end. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Verse 24. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. I wanted him to tell you the story that I grew up hearing, because so many times in our life, we worry, God, how will you do this? How will you provide that? How will you make that happen? Gail, it's really very simple. We love to complicate things. But he asks us in his word, consider the ravens. The same species that he used to feed Elijah, he asked us to consider them, because he takes care of them. He takes care of every single thing, every little detail of your life, from the smallest to the largest. See, we worry about the details, but yet we serve a God of detail. He told Elijah, you're going to drink at this brook. A raven's going to come in the morning, bring you something to eat. He's going to come in the evening, bring you something else to eat. See, if God has to do the supernatural, and that's what he does best, to help you, to provide for you, to make sure that you're taken care of, that's exactly what he'll do. Exactly. Last place for me this morning, hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know who needed to hear this evening or this morning. But somebody literally needed to hear, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide for you. Stop worrying about the details and how I'm going to do it and what I'll have to do to get it situated. Because it's never been according to what you have. It's never been about that. But he says, I will supply your need. It's according to what I have. Church, he has it all. Y'all stand to your feet. There's a beautiful food box in the fellowship hall. You'll go right through that door, and you'll get it. Miss Sherry will help you to grab it. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every single thing, Lord, that you've done. God, I thank you, Lord, that you truly do provide. Lord, you make a way where there was not a way before. God, I ask that you would help us to live this out. Lord, help us not to worry. And God, help us to be a blessing to other people. God, that's really what everything is all about. In Jesus' name, amen.